everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Indie Corner Radio. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I've got two awesome guests here, and I'll let them both introduce themselves, starting with Cody. Please introduce yourself, sir.
Hi, I'm Cody Falk, and I play Dean in the film Smack.
And you're also the writer.
I'm also the writer and the executive producer, and yeah. Your turn, Alice.
Okay. And hi, I'm Alice Bosga, and I'm going to be co-directing the film.
All right. Woo. All right. So before we get into Smack, which is going to be a lot of what we're going to talk about here, which no, we can't talk so much about because we don't want to spoil anything for the audience, but we can talk, you know, about your crowdfunding and all the stuff that you're doing. But before then, how did you two meet and work together?
Alice, do you want to tell it?
Sure. Well, I think it was like 6 years ago now at this point, right? Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another Voorhees actor. Yeah. Introduced us. Yeah.
Yeah. So, this was back when Voorhees was an entirely different version than what was actually the final, that was put out. So someone that had already been cast in it, he knew me from a previous project, and Cody was looking for someone to, replace the character that I was going to be. And so he recommended me to Cody, and it kind of went from there.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's been hell since then. No.
We hate each other.
I can tell, you guys just like are so mad about being on the show together. I can, yeah. Steaming.
This clown.
I am wearing my Crystal Lake lifeguard shirt and drinking out of my Friday the 13th mug.
Oh, nice.
Just because I am a huge fan of Jason. Back in like 2013, I tried to do like an Indiegogo for a Jason movie, and I got like stopped by Crystal Lake Entertainment themselves. They told me like, you can't, I can't, like, cease and desist. And oh, so wow. I was like, okay, well, I'm not gonna touch this, And now it seems like a lot more people are doing fan films because like they really can, because there's not gonna be a Friday the 13th film for a while, Right. And people are kind of basically wanting that itch scratched, in a way, like the fans really want to keep seeing Jason slaughtering people. Cody, when you were in the middle of like doing, you said it was like 6 years ago or so, like that guys actually started the journey. Can you tell us like what happened with that?
Sure. Yeah. So, Voorhees started off as a short film, just 15, 20 minutes. It was just going to be all exterior, just in the woods. And, very, very much a very more, it was a simple version of Voorhees. I mean, it was nothing to, what it came to be, but, the reason why we always thought our story was cool. We always thought there was something cool that we could kind of expand, and it was different than what we've seen out of the last 12 Friday the 13th movies, out of all of them, But what really changed was when I used to work at a TV station doing some camera work, and I met a guy there named Neil Fruin, who is in the film, and he told me about his property, because at the time we kept getting kicked out of like parks and stuff for machetes, and like, you can't do that, and we're scaring people, and they're like, you got to get out of here. And it was like, Jesus Christ, we're just trying to make a movie. We couldn't get our drones in the sky because we're next to the airport, and just everything kept going wrong. And I was like, man, all I just want to do is make a movie. And Neil kind of came to the rescue and was like, come check out my place. I got a ton of property. But he did not mention what was on his property. He just said I had a bunch of land. But when we got there, as we're kind of doing our little, location scout, we started stumbling upon these, abandoned houses and abandoned barns that have been abandoned since the 1950s. And we were like, for an indie film, like this was gold, we had a Hollywood set, and then they were like, okay, let's expand the script. So we did, we kind of wrote the script around those new locations and expanded it out to a full length film. And that's what it is. That's the film that's out today. So
that's amazing. What was that?
I said it worked out beautifully. Thanks to Neil.
Yeah. That's fantastic. So I watched it today. I really, I had a blast. It kind of had Reservoir Dogs vibes, you know, to it. It kind of felt like a Reservoir Voorhees, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
So I really dug that. And Alice, you as a you as a bad girl, I did not like. I know you personally. I've worked with you, and I kind of I you know, I don't know. Like, that's not normally what I would picture you as, but like, you did it really well, and I thought your character was definitely like, you kind of, your tone switches a little bit. And I think that's, you know, due to Cody's, you know, script with your co-writer, but it, you know, your tone switches, and I feel like the audience starts caring for your character a little bit more, because at first you're kind of like this hardcore chick who, like, literally people wouldn't have cared in the beginning if you had died, because you were bad, you know. But then later kind of and oh man, so at one point I thought you were gone, and all of a sudden, you know, we weren't gonna see you again, and so I was like mad. I was like, oh man, she didn't get a Jason kill like everybody else. And then of course, you know, that's what probably like everybody wants, right? You know, all the actors want to die at the hands of Jason. They don't want to be the final girl, really, necessarily. Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the exciting part, right?
Right. You know, like, how was it? Like, was it sort of weird in a way? Like, because, I mean, did you grow up on the films at all and whatnot?
Well, here's some shocking news. I've actually never seen any of the Friday the 13th films. I mean, yeah, I know. Shocking.
Still?
Yep. Cody's probably going to kill me for saying that. But yeah, because so for the longest time, just growing up, I don't know, horror films always used to scare the bejesus out of me. So I just stayed away. I mean, I appreciated them for, you know, the artistry or like the fact that they did scare me, but I couldn't get myself to actually watch them. But now that I'm an adult, I can venture into that territory more comfortably. And I do want to watch them, especially now, because I mean, after having everyone's nice support and great feedback and everything, I feel like I kind of owe it to them, you know, for getting us to where we are with the 1 million views and helping us make it happen. So I do want to watch it. Watch them. I mean, several. I know there are several.
Well, you know, and that's wonderful, because like a lot of my friends, so I have a makeup artist who I'm friends with, and she wasn't into horror until, I mean, now she's watching more because she's making more of them. So she wants to be aware of stuff. You know, if somebody asks her, can you do something like this? You know, she could be aware. But like, she grew up being scared of horror films and everything. Yeah, and now she's making, but it's like, I think it's different when you're making them, because obviously it's not so scary. Well, maybe you're supposed to be scared a little bit, you know?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, yeah, no, there are going to be moments that still mess with you, because I mean, like for Voorhees, for instance, I mean, we were out in the middle of the woods late at night with this guy that's playing a, you know, crazy killer guy, and he wouldn't talk to us when he would be in costume. So, you know, it did get eerie, creepy out there sometimes, or yeah. But I will say, as far as horror movies, I've always wanted to act in them. I always thought it was going to be really fun too. So I was drawn to them in that sense. I don't know. It makes no sense, but I guess when you're making it, it's like exciting because you're part of creating something that people are going to be scared of or excited about. So
it's the death factor. It's the idea that you get to see your own death, because I mean, that sounds really morbid and really fucked up, but that is true of actors. And I bet Cody can testify to that too. But like, you know, basically being a actor and being able to see yourself die, you can't see that in real life. You can't be on the other end watching yourself. So it's really kind of it's sort of an esoteric kind of feeling. And so that's why a lot of people like to act in horror films, because especially die in a, like a slasher film or something, because they get to kind of see it happen. Cody, I do have a question to ask you. Alice said that the guy who played Jason did not talk Was he easy to direct if he can't talk to you?
Well, that was something that I told him early on. I told him not to talk to the cast. That was the, I was the one telling him not to do that. Just because, I mean, I remember times where he'd be in costume and I just kind of leave him in the woods just enough to, like, at the tree bank where you could still see him. And just so the actors could just let that tension build for about an hour, you know, sometimes hour and a half before even filming, he'd just be standing there. So I just always wanted to try to have that, that tension building. Plus, you know, not to mention he's, the guy's huge, you know, I mean, he towers over everybody in the cast, including myself. And he's, but to kind of answer your question, no, Jordan Blanco, it sounds crazy to say his name because we kept him quiet for so long, but Jordan Blanco was really easy to direct. Same thing for Alice. I mean, look, the cast was, you know, really a group of friends. You know, this was a group of friends who didn't start off as friends per se, but we all became friends because it was such a long project. So it felt like I made this movie with my friends. You know what I'm saying? So it was very easy. Well, not easy, but it was easy to work with them. You know, Alice and Jordan in particular were two people who I had a lot of fun working with, and a few others as well. But no, Jordan, Jordan was a sweetheart. He was a gentle giant, and he really cared about the actors. You know what I mean? He didn't, he wanted the film to look good. He wanted the kills to look, but he definitely cared about everybody's safety too, you know, and as well as we did, of course, but he was honestly really easy to work with. To be honest, I had no problems with Jordan whatsoever. He did a fantastic job. I think he did a really great job.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely. Kudos to Jordan. It's Jordan's movie in a way, to be honest with you. It really is. You know, I mean, it's all of our movie, but Jordan really, like, it's Jason, you know what I'm saying? It's Jason Boyd. It's his movie. You know what I mean? So
yeah, without him, it wouldn't be the same.
Yeah.
Do you guys mind if I go into like a real big spoiler for the movie? Like, I mean, as long as I let people know ahead of time, if you haven't seen Voorhees, please stop right now. Go watch it on YouTube. It's an hour and 39 minutes, which is, you know, I mean, amazing that you guys were able to make a feature film for fan film, because not many people do that these days. They just
with no money.
With no money. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing.
No money, dreams.
But so she was a Voorhees at the end, like, because she went to her, was it her grandfather's grave or something, that she was the main girl. I'm trying to remember the character's name.
Elena.
See, I don't know. There's a lot of like speculations, a lot of conspiracies out there. That's kind of one of those things I really don't like to answer, because I just, and not to be rude, but I just think it's more fun to hear all those things, you know what I mean?
Leave it open-ended and...
Yeah. I mean, if Alice wants to share what she thinks, like, I have my own ideas about it, but, you know, I will say this. Yeah, obviously she's related in some sense, right? I mean, there's definitely something going on there, but I think it's one of the fun things about it. I wanted to do something different with the ending, because I think a lot of people anticipate a gore fest with an ending. And I was like, well, let's give them the gore throughout the movie, but then do more of a different type of ending where it kind of leaves you thinking. And most Friday films don't really do that. You know, it's either it's that last jump scare or last, you know, slash. And I thought it'd be kind of cool to leave it on a mysterious note. I mean, and it's also hence the movie Voorhees. You know, it's not just Jason, right? There's something else going on there. So Voorhees, that is. So she shares that name with somebody.
Okay, what about you, Alice? What do you think?
I'll be right back, too.
I don't know. I don't really want to say what I think, to be honest. I have been enjoying reading in the comments what everyone's interpretation of it is.
Right.
And I've got the inside scoop as to what it's supposed to be, so I don't really want to ruin that mystery, if you will, like Cody said.
Right. Okay. Because, you know, I get it, because if you leave it open-ended, people can discuss it, people can, you know, have their own speculations. But then if you do tell them, then it's just all of a sudden, that's it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way it has to, well, that's the way it should have been, but
mm-hmm.
I like it. I like the, I like it because it's kind of a twist. I mean, I had a feeling, I was like wondering why we never saw like the name, but I think it is really funny because if I'm correct, we do see like a Roy in there, right? In the beginning, there's a, and Cody can kind of, can tell us about this, but there's a Roy, graveyard, a grave, name.
Roy Burns.
Right. But did we see the last name? I just saw Roy. I remember Roy.
You didn't, no, you didn't see the last name, but that's definitely an Easter egg to part five.
Right. So what was the name? I'm trying to remember what the name of, what is it? Because Jason Voorhees' dad actually had a name.
Elias.
Elias. Okay. For some reason, I thought it was Roy. And then Roy, you're right, is part five. Ugh, you know, like that.
Roy, yeah.
What?
Go ahead. I was just to say, Roy was the sabotage, like copycat killer in part five. That is just purely simply an Easter egg. But I remember when we put the trailer. I love that shot of the tombstone where she walks by, and fans seem to really, oh, that's the Roy tombstone. It's simply just an Easter egg, but it's super cool. And that's something you see in the beginning of the film. And in fact, Jonathan, I'm not sure if you caught this or if you mentioned this when I stepped away, that all those opening shots of Eileen's character and the other character is all part one, shot by shot, Friday the 13th part one, Blairstown, New Jersey.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. You see the way Annie gets dropped off in front of the cemetery and all that's a identical shot. We were staying in the same exact positions as they were. Go back and watch the first 2 minutes of part one. It's literally shot by shot where he's just 40 years later.
That's crazy. Wow. That, yeah, I think I was watching Drum Dumb's review of your guys.
Yes.
Of the film. And he actually, I think he mentioned that he was happy to see, like, and that is the fandom right there, as people see, wow, they actually went to New Jersey and filmed there. Did you guys have to get permits on it, or did you just do it guerrilla style?
No permits. Just guerrilla style. Listen, as a fan though, man, I was jizzing in my pants, man, being in there. I mean, it was so cool. In fact, Chris Paulson, shout out to Chris Paulson because he is a huge piece to Voorhees, who's I wrote the script with him and he was executive producer. At one point he comes up and kind of gives me one of these boing, boing, boing. He's like, Cody, we got to start filming, dude, because I'm just like mesmerized. But he said, it's been an hour. Let's start rolling. I kind of had to snap out of it. He's like, okay, now I got to be a director. Cause I was like fanboying out, just being, it was an amazing time. But no permits. In fact, of course there was a goddamn marching band playing the day we show up, walking through town. So every now and then we had to stop and let them go, let them charge through the town. It's a small little street. Like, all right, now let's start filming. And then you start hearing them come up, and then it's like, all right, break time. So that was pretty comical.
Yeah.
That was where the phrase came up, where Chris Paulson, I'm a quote for this from him, just another day on Clown Car Productions. So yeah.
It happens. We all shot something together. We shot the Dark Office together. And the 2 days before then, we were shooting another movie and another short film. And we were shooting outside in the suburbs. And there was nothing. There was a guy mowing the lawn, you know, so we had to stop, right? And we waited. And then we're like, okay, ready to shoot. Right when we were about to shoot the next part, all of a sudden he was leaf blowing,
or
doing something else. And then we thought he was done. Like when he was done leaf blowing, we're like, okay, all right, we could do it. And then he starts his car up and just lets it run, and we couldn't do. Oh man, oh,
that's funny.
So it's like I feel it's your like pain.
They know you're filming, yeah.
That's so funny.
Marching band probably knew. They were like the mayor of Blairstown is just like, get in there and stop them from making this fan film.
Yeah,
I was... sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Alice, because I was going to say something really aggressive anyways. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say we were in Chicago like a couple weeks ago to film another project we're in, and similar thing happened to us where we were on the street, like filming, we're just walking down the street, just, you know, seen as college kids, and we were going to do one more take just like to make sure that we had enough. And as soon as Brayden said action, this birthday, like kid's birthday party across the street starts blaring. I don't even know what they were singing. It was like, I think it was a Baby Shark song or something. And we're just now, like, are you guys serious?
now that that's out the bag, I actually paid those guys to play that exact time, because I really had to use the bathroom. Oh, and yeah. The director wouldn't let me use the bathroom, Jonathan. So I had to come up with a quick plan to how do I get a quick break here. So I ran over across the field, and I knew this. I saw they had a party, and I slipped the guy $20 and said, "Just start singing something," and ran back to our set and like, "All right, I'm ready to go." And then as soon as he yelled action, the music came on.
Oh, it was the bingo song.
Alice is right. It was the bingo song.
That's just as funny as we had it on video, but my sister, one of my sisters at her wedding, outside, she was outside like next to a farm, you know? Mm-hmm. So when they said like, "Do you have any objections or whatever?" Which they used to say, but I don't think they say that anymore. But they had said, "Do you have any objections?" A cow goes moo. And I swear to God that happened. And we're just like, everybody just burst out laughing.
That's funny.
It was the perfect timing. Like literally after he asked that.
And so that's hilarious. Like, that's
cow
hilarious.
Know that we don't.
Yeah, apparently the cow had an objection. I don't know. Paul would have loved that.
Oh yeah, got the cow love.
Yeah. So since you guys mentioned it, can you say what project that was for or not that you guys worked on?
Oh yeah. So it's called Haddonfield Nightmare, and that's a Halloween fan film.
Yeah, so in Chicago. So you guys went from, you know, from a Friday the 13th one to a Halloween one together. And I think that's really awesome because, you know, next is Nightmare on Elm Street, right? Is
that what you guys? Yeah, that's what I joked about. I'm going to work down the line.
Might as well, right? Like, I mean, a lot of people make these movies and Cody, you can tell me what you think about this, but I was talking to somebody about, you know, why people do fan films. And generally, I know a guy who does almost strictly fan films. Like, and I think I'd rather make original movies than just do fan films.
Sure. But
I would love to do a fan film just because most likely I'll never be able to make that movie, you know, like, you know, and I'm sure that's sort of a reason why you wanted to make Voorhees, because most likely there's only one in like a lot of people, you know, that get a chance to, you know, to direct a Friday the 13th actual Hollywood movie, you know? So the people, you know, do you feel like that's mainly the reason you wanted to do it? Cause you wanted to just be able to do that and make a, you know, fan, like a movie for the movie that you're a fan of.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was going to say, obviously, I was just a massive fan. Friday 13th Part 3 was one of the first movies that actually freaked me out as a kid. So grew up watching the movies, always wanted to do one. And it's funny you said 2013, because in 2012, I tried to shoot, it wasn't Voorhees, but it was another Friday 13th fan film that was just a disaster that I won't get into. So I always wanted to do one. And yes, this was like my tribute to them, you know. I was going to say homage, but I didn't want to sound fancy. It's a labor of love, right? It's a passion project. You can't make a penny off of them. And as long as you go in with that mindset, you're just going to have fun. I feel like the only problem though nowadays is these fan films feel like they're competing with each other. And I don't understand that. I'm not sure if I'm really about that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What are you competing for? You're not, there's not a fight against the box office. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, they're for fun. I look at fan film as a good experimental process. Have fun, do different things, you know, do the fan film that you would want to see Hollywood do, you know, and hopefully other Friday 13 fans or Halloween fans appreciate that, you know? I think they're a lot of fun. But as you know, it takes a lot to make a good movie. And, you know, I think fan films are that good kind of stepping stone. At least for me, I wanted to show people, not only the Friday 13th fans, but other movie lovers, that here's a movie that we did with super low budget. Imagine what we could do if we had more money. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So it was kind of a, it was kind of a double-sided coin. It's like, want to do this because I'm a massive Friday 13th fan, love Jason Voorhees, love the franchise, and then also I want to make films. So how do we let's combine the two, stepping stone, and this is also like a bucket list project for me. And I can scratch that off the list now. I made a Friday 13th movie that I'm proud of. So
and you've acted in a Halloween film, you know? Yeah. Like that is so cool. Like that's just you know, people probably dream of that, you know?
Yeah.
So Alice, have you ever seen any of the Halloween movies? I have to ask that.
Drum roll, please.
I was really hoping you wouldn't ask me that. No, but I've always known the theme song and I've always loved it, honestly. So
have you known the theme song for Friday the 13th? Okay, so you know all the theme, well, except I don't think you know that Nightmare on Elm Street one, do you?
Honestly, if I heard it, I'm sure that I know it.
Okay.
I can't tell you right now, honestly, that I do.
It's not as easy to do as those other two, honestly.
No, it's not. Yeah.
It is sort of a harder, like, it's a synth thing that is,
yeah.
It's really good. It's a great score and it's a great theme. It's really scary, but it's not nearly as memorable or easy to do as the other two. But I mean, I didn't get into horror. I'm gonna be honest with you, I didn't get into horror. I mean, I watched like Are You Afraid of the Dark as a kid, and I watched like,
hey, me too, I watched those things. Yeah, those were fun.
Yeah, like I watched kid stuff, but it wasn't until I got into like my older teenage years that I got into horror, and then I got into indie horror a lot more too. So but there's some horror films I haven't watched yet, you know, that I'm really excited about watching, because that's, you know, that's part of, I guess, growing up in the horror industry, you know, you get to see the stuff that people talk about all the time. And now you can, if you want to, I don't know when you'll end up watching those movies. You got to let me know, what you think. We won't spoil the ending to the first Friday the 13th to you, you know, if you don't know it. you might already know,
yeah,
a little bit. But see, that's the thing too. It's like you've seen Scream though, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay. So all right. Well, so let's talk a little bit about your guys' next picture, Smack, which you guys are now still doing a crowdfunding campaign for Indiegogo. So when I saw you guys on my set, I guess Cody, you were already getting into character. Were you like prepping for the pictures and the trailer?
Yeah, well, part of me wants to say I've been prepping for it for over 5 years now because I've had the idea, but yes, when we were on set with you guys doing The Dark Office, which was a fantastic time, by the way. Can't wait to see that. Pleasure working with you. You know, getting into it as just a pure fact of just trying to lose a little bit of weight and stuff. Then again, I'm always trying to lose weight. So, you know, who isn't, right? So, we were getting prepped for the teaser. When was that exactly? It wasn't long off. Yeah, it wasn't like a week later, else we shot the teaser for Smack.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so we were prepping for it. Obviously, COVID like really tampered a lot of things. So I was so eager to finally get out there and start working on Smack. I guess we were prepping for it.
Because it wasn't that much longer that. You just released the trailer, so.
Yeah. I think it was like a week, literally, I think it was exactly a week after we left filming with your guys' on Dark Office that we were right on smack shooting the on set. So yeah, it was pretty quick. It was a quick turnaround.
And you guys sort of now become like a team in a way, you know, you two for sure. You know, are you guys, I mean, I guess you don't, I don't know if you guys know what your next thing is after Smack, but are you guys planning to continue to work together?
Fudge no. No. Yes. You know, it's funny, you know, well, I knew Alice had some great ideas. When I was working with her on Voorhees, I always saw something in her, and I always thought she was really a good actress. And, you know, I knew she wanted to not only continue to act, but she always told me she wanted to do more directing and such. And definitely more, like, you know, creative stuff behind the camera, I should say. And when it came down to directing for Smack, I said, you know, I think she'll be great for this, because there's actually two directors in Smack, Jordan Miller, and then Alice is co-directing. I thought with this type of movie, you have a very strong female story, woman story, then you have a very strong male story. So I thought having a male director and a female director would be kind of interesting with this type of love story, toxic love story. I just thought she'd be great for this. And I knew she was ready for the challenge. And Alice, do you want to take it away?
Yeah, are you ready for the challenge, Alice?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, I mean, even the trailer, filming the trailer was fun, and also, I'd say, kind of confirming that, yeah, I can absolutely do that, because there were things that, you know, I mean, Jordan's going to have kind of a heavy load, because he has to do the cinematography and directing, so, you know, with all of that going on in his mind, there are bound to be a few things here and there that he misses, right? So, I helped him even with the trailer, so, like, pointing out certain things, or like maybe we should reshoot this because we missed something or whatever. And so honestly, I'm gonna be there to kind of back him and make sure that everything is running smoothly and we're doing the best that we possibly can. You know, everyone's on point with their acting. We draw out of them exactly what we want. Camera angles, details like in the trailer, you know, like the belt, for instance, you know, details like that, you have to be really on top of to make sure that it is realistic and, you know, just, yeah, on point. Like I said, we want to make it as realistic as possible.
So did you guys have to do like some research into that stuff? Like, did you guys have to actually, like, how did that, like, cause I can imagine it being kind of hard if you've never, you know, yourself have never actually, because I myself have never done heroin and I don't plan ever to, you know,
hope not.
Yeah, I don't plan ever to, but I do know people who have, you know, and I know if I needed to, if that was a role, I know I could go to turn to people or whatever, but like, that's a little bit, it's gotta be a little bit hard. Cody, like you're supposed to be playing, you know, that kind of character, like a heroin addict. How did you do research just for that?
Again, I've had the idea for a long time. So back in 2016, I actually attempted to shoot this film, at least a shorter version of it. And not to get too deep here, but I have lost friends and family because of drugs, and I wanted to, you know, try to shed some light to this a little bit, you know, and try to spread some awareness here. So I've been prepping for the character for a long time. I visited a rehab facility back in 2016. It was a fascinating experience, hearing the people's stories. I got to sit in and listen, and I attended a program to where they had a prosthetic arm, a really, really realistic looking arm that had all this stuff hooked up. They showed you how to, and they showed young teens how to shoot up safely. They're, if you are going to shoot up, they were teaching them how to do it safely. And I was right there, and it was pretty strange. And it was weird. And there I was kind of like making a movie, like in my head, and I'm writing all these notes, and I got to talk to some other recovering addicts at the time who were telling me some of their stories and stuff. And Yeah, it was a dark, weird thing to encounter and listen to, and that stuck with me. Obviously, we didn't start shooting them, start filming anything until now, but I've always done research on my own time and you know, other things and videos. And, you know, I think what's so powerful about this story is we all know somebody who is dealing with this, you know, mm-hmm. It's a real thing. And, you know, it's important that we don't glorify heroin. You know, this is the ugly side of this, you know, because I feel like Hollywood, not to go off on a rant here, but Hollywood would just do like the cliche, like couples, heroin addicts, they're like really smoking hot. The girl's got a big rack and they drive around in a Corvette all day and they're heroin addicts. Like, that's not how it is, you know? So we want to show the ugly side of it. And I think Smack does it's exactly that. So, but that's the, sorry, I kind of jumped around your question, but yeah, that was really how I started prepping for it was that, and then just some other embarrassing things that I don't want to say out loud that I did. Yeah.
Well, is this a very personal story to you too, Alice? Like, is this something like, have you kind of had problems with like dealing with family members or friends or whoever, you know, that kind of have problems with this issue?
Yeah, actually someone, a very close friend of mine years ago was struggling with it. And it was on and off for quite a few years. And it had gotten to the point where it was kind of feeling like it was my responsibility, like for me to be there for him. So I would make sure that he went to meetings and I would go with him to meetings and things like that. Or he shared a lot of stories with me where, I mean, even till this day, I'm kind of like, oh, wow. You know, I don't really tell people this, but yeah, it's it was really heavy. It was really hard. And so, yeah, just I don't. It was hard to see his family go through that as well. And then, of course, it's hard on me because, I mean, it's someone that I really deeply cared about. And, you know, you don't want to see anybody going through that and struggling with this, like, destructive thing where, you know, like, when I first met him, he had a lot of plans for himself, you know, and then it just all kind of went downhill from there. And it's just really sad. So, you know, yeah, it is personal for me too. And I guess, you know, the hope here is that seeing the ugly side, maybe others who don't know better, don't get involved in something like this and they don't, you know, go down an ugly path. They could just live a normal life, you know?
Well, I mean, and I'm, as a person who, you know, loves like, you know, movies with a message, obviously, you know, you always want to have a little heart. You gotta somehow be a little worried that it doesn't get too, like, I don't know, After School Special-y, you know, where it's like shoving the message down your throat, you know, but also, you know what I mean? But also like, but also being like a real movie that people can relate to the characters and can feel for. So I'm pretty sure from the trailer, it doesn't look like it's at all like an After School Special. It does not look that way. So I'm hoping that when people see it, you know, when it's finished, that they get that this is a serious and hopefully very powerful film, you know, that can sort of shine a light to the issues. The other thing I want to mention was you said, Alice, you said the like the meetings and stuff and helping go to meetings. I had a friend who went to an NA meeting and she left the NA meeting after it was her first NA meeting. She left and there was somebody in the parking lot trying to sell her smack, like in the parking lot. And she was already like trying her hardest to get away from this stuff. So she never went back and I felt terrible, but you know, I tried to let her know I'm sure it's not like that, you know, every meeting, but I have heard, you know, it's a terrible thing, you know, people are trying to get help and yeah. Then there's people still trying to give you is, if you're an AA, it's not the same thing. People aren't out there saying, hey, you want to buy a bottle of liquor? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just not the same thing. So it sucks, you know, for a lot of addicts out there, you know, actually trying to stay clean. So I'm hoping your message sort of gets out there and lets people know, like, they should go into a safe space and maybe go into like a rehab or something, you know, before something tragic does happen, you know, which is even scarier. Mm-hmm. So would you, what kind of film would you say this is? Like a drama, or is this like drama comedy with whatever, like what kind would you say it is, Cody?
I'd say that it's a hard drama, but it's a drama romance. I wouldn't say there's a lot of comedy. Alice can kind of pitch her thoughts, you know, when she first read the script. But one thing I want to tell people is, because I know we have our following is mostly horror fans, and I'm a massive horror fan. It's my genre, you know, love it. But this is real life horror, you know. This is not a horror movie, but this is a real life horror movie. And the script really goes there, man. And in fact, that's the only reason why I'm really acting in this one, because I wrote it with me in mind, and I really wrote some very uncomfortable, awkward moments that I don't want to do, but at the same time, I want to do as an actor, you know, to really go there. So the script doesn't glorify heroin. It's not even a story about heroin. It's really a story about love. Heroin plays a crisis in the film. The moral of the film is a story about love. So yeah, Alice, do you want to kind of share your thoughts on that?
As far as what type of a film it is. Yeah, I would agree. Romantic drama. But like a realistic romantic drama. So it's basically following this couple, you know, from the beginning stages of their relationship and how this sort of affects the long term of their relationship, you know.
Right. Is there a film that you guys would say is very similar at all? Like sort of maybe inspired at all?
Another like necessarily drug movie or
heavy-handed drama. Like when I think of drug movies, I think of Requiem for a Dream, which, you know, I think is a lot of people's, like,
yeah, Requiem for a Dream or Trainspotting.
I was thinking Blow even.
Yeah, Blow's definitely,
well, Blow, I feel like Blow's a little bit more cool though.
Yeah, well, okay, not like in a Hollywood, like,
yeah.
So it's a cool thing to do. It's more so in the, like, you know, they think they're, I don't know. It's more like the bad side, the downside of, you know,
yeah,
kind of just like what have I done, sort of, you know.
I would say, Jonathan, if anything, this might be a strange comparison to some people out there, but I think it's more like Taxi Driver. It's more of a character study of a couple and how it kind of descends into, you know, chaos, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a very false type of love at times, because they share love for each other, but also this drug. So it's almost like Taxi Driver, even movies like the new Joker movie, you know, it's not happy. You know, it's depressing, no doubt about it. You know, I've been telling people, you know, listen, you're not going to be sitting around Christmas and saying, let's put on Smack. You know, it's not one of those movies, you know. In fact, what I'm really trying to achieve here is, I hope people only want to watch it one time, because it's really going to be that hardcore. You know,
that's what I was thinking, actually. Right when you said you don't want to put it on Christmas, I was like thinking, I don't think they'll want to watch it more than once.
I don't think so.
If it hits that hard, because like, I'm sure it'll be one of those movies where people can talk about it and have an open conversation about it, but mm-hmm. they only need to see it once and then, and that's it. But that's sort of, I mean, in a way, nowadays with binge watching and everything, that sort of works, because binge watching, you watch it once, then you move on to the next season or next show or next whatever, right?
Yeah.
So we're kind of, now we're kind of cultured to just watch one movie or one thing and then kind of move on. So having a movie like that, instead of watching something over and over again like we used to, you know, do, I feel like is a better idea anyway.
Can I ask you, Jonathan, as a filmmaker and as just a fan of movies, like, was there anything in particular that you really enjoyed about the trailer, or was there more than one thing, or what did you dig about it?
Well, I mean, as I said, Taxi Driver, I could see that, you know, even in the trailer. But I could more see like Requiem for a Dream, for like the idea of like,
sure.
You know, just the idea of, if, you know, I think it was Jared Leto in that movie.
And it stuff? Was Jared like, Leto. Yeah.
And just the, you know, just the characters, like the love aspect of that, but it's not the same. Like, you could tell it's completely different. It's a more modern day take on what is going on. So I just enjoyed all of it, because I can see what you guys are going for, you know, with it, you know, like, cool. You're really trying to get the word out, you know.
And awesome.
And I hope that people sort of, problem, and you know, you guys may face this or not, and I love an open discussion about this, but you guys may have a issue with like the fact that only people who don't do heroin watch this movie. Like, you know, they might see it in your friends and family, and they maybe want to talk to them about it, but like people who are actually doing heroin, they're not going to watch a movie that's going to tell them not to do heroin, you know, or show them why, you know what I mean? Like, what do you guys think about that? Honestly.
I think that is a risk. You know, it's like, kind of like ignorance is bliss, I guess, where it's like, well, I mean, or saying like, oh no, that's not me. You know, it's hard to see or hear something that, you know, that is true sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I can definitely see that being an issue, but maybe you won't be, or if anything, I mean, at least it gives some insight to those that don't do it, and in terms of what maybe they're going through, their loved ones or anything that are going through. So maybe it'll also provide some understanding, or a better for them, figure out a better way to maybe try to open that channel of communication. I don't
know. Yeah, no, I agree. And I'll say this real quick, then I'll get Cody's response, because I bet Cody's get an answer to this too. But I agree with that. And when you were talking, I also thought about the fact that maybe people who don't do heroin yet, you know, would watch it, and maybe that would turn them off to watching it as well. So maybe it will be a really good sort of positive, you know, take on it or whatever with that, especially if you show sort of the realisticness, as you guys said, that this is going to be real. What do you think, Cody?
Listen, man, I've said this to everybody in the team and stuff, is look, if we can save one life, we've made a good movie, you know, and that's really all I care about. I mean, I want to, hopefully the movie hits home. I fantasize in my head sometimes that maybe a recovering addict will see Smack and they're like, you know, hey, there are days where I want to get high again, but then I put this little indie film called Smack on and it reminds me of who I used to be, and then they say, you know what, I'm not going back to that. So if we can do that for recovering addicts or these young kids, you know, in 2020 we set a high record in the DMV area here, you know, right down the street from us, people are dying, and unfortunately these addicts are, they're like street trash to people. Nobody cares. They get, their stories get buried in 6 feet down with them, you know, and it's sad. So we want to try to, like, we can't save everybody, right? You're not going to save everybody, but if we can save one life, a poor child, you know, and you know, then we made a good movie. The film not only shows the destruction between, and the separation between, this couple, but it shows the the effect that it has on the family. You know, the family is also impacted by this, you know, and you see that, you know. So it's really an emotional roller coaster, and I hope that it finds an audience. I really do.
I do too.
I mean, to that point, sorry. To that point, I mean, there have been a few people that have already reached out just based on the trailer alone.
Yes, yeah.
This is, you know, having experienced it there themselves or having a loved one that went through it, but they really appreciate, you know, what we're going for, what the story is about. And they're like, we do want to watch it because this is meaningful to me and to us as a family even. So, you know, like recovering addicts or people that have seen their loved ones go through it. I mean, they have reached out and said, thank you. And I can't wait to see the film because it's got a great message and it's important.
We've gotten amazing feedback. I just want to take a second really quick, Jonathan, here, just to say thank you to all the backers and stuff and everyone who has reached out. I wasn't really expecting some of the things that were that I got, to be honest with you. And it, but you know, it's been very welcoming because these people have been very honest and open, and they've been sharing their stories with me. And you know, it's sad to hear those stories, but it's nice to hear that this movie is kind of spreading already some awareness, you know what I mean? And it's shedding some light on this. And that's the goal. Look, it's not going to be an easy movie to watch. I'm not going to lie, but you know, that's the point, you know, we want to try to make the best movie that we can and shed some light and hopefully present it to some film festivals too, you know. Bless you, Alice. And I just want to thank everybody so far, including yourself, Jonathan, who you know, been so cool, and thank you everyone for sharing the stories with us. And Alice has stories, I have stories, Jonathan, you've had stories, we all have different experiences with this, you know, and it's nice to kind of get together and kind of vent about it. And I hope this movie continues to kind of bring these people together, you know, and share stories and enjoy the art form that we're trying to do here. You know, we're trying to bring the creative arts to spread awareness, you know.
I 100% agree, because as we've all said, we've known somebody. If us three who are completely different kind of know somebody or you know, have some connection with what's going on, then this is a powerful time right now to be doing a movie like this. So hopefully it does reach the audience. I mean, I guess only time will tell. And also, you guys are running your campaign, so hopefully, God bless you guys. I really hope you guys get more than what you guys are hoping to get, because I know the more money you guys get, the more you guys are able to spend that on making the movie better in some way or another. So people always
thank you.
And this is the sad thing about crowdfunding, because I've done crowdfunding numerous times, and I absolutely hate it, but sometimes it's the only way to get whatever you need to get. And as you know this, Cody, and I'm sure you do too, Alice, that when you make a crowdfunding thing, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what you're going to get. You're hoping that it's going to soar through the roof and get it. But also, people don't realize that the amount that you have up there, if you guys got 15,000, I think, right, that's basically the minimum goal, you know, that feature films should be made at. You know, so really, hopefully it goes, you know, especially movies like this where they tell a more serious and a more realistic thing. You need some serious cash for that, you know. You can't just make it on like peanuts, you know. And so hopefully you guys go get more, because a lot of people see, oh, they made their goal, they made 15,000, they don't need me, you know. And that is not true at all. That means they need you more, you know, because you need, you know, because then you can make, you know, you can make it better and better, you know. So hopefully people see this and they see, you guys get the goal and keep skyrocketing more. So
and also we're talking about taking a percentage of what we raise and actually donating it to some rehab facility. So anything helps, you know. We always say, even simply sharing, you know, I mean, help us get the word out. As you said, Jonathan, yeah, the more money, the better. But I mean, listen, 15 is like the bare minimum. I mean, you know, actually, we need more like 30 or 35, 40,000. But 15 is like, we can make it work. You know, we're going to have some struggle. We're going to struggle a little bit on certain things. But it's indie filmmaking, right? You learn tricks along the way, you know, and you make it work. I love indie films. Always, you know, I support the underground scene. B horror movies are my jazz. You know, I mean, I love B horror. I'm an underground guy, you know, myself. So support any films, all these indie films. Support Jonathan, you know, support Alice, you know, support us all, because indie films is where it's where it's at, man. You know, it really is. You know, they're great. I love indie films.
Well, also, you know that I know you're really into B movie horror and stuff, and
yes,
and horror things. You got to get Alice into that anymore. So you hang out with, you know, see, like, look at you having an Arrow Blu-ray right there.
Come on.
I mean, that's awesome. So yeah, so she's smiling, going, we'll see if that happens.
Well, I will say that, I mean, as I get more involved in the indie film world, I am seeing that, I mean, we get these big Hollywood movies and everything, and it's kind of all the same, like pizzazz and whatever, but like the indie films, they're really just kind of taking a totally different approach and trying to tell very different stories than the same usual thing like Hollywood does a lot of the time. So
yeah,
most of the time, until they get to the point where I'm starting to get annoyed, and this, you know, this goes off topic a little bit, but I'm getting a little annoyed at the people that basically are just copying what Hollywood's doing on the indie scene, when they should really I get it. You're trying to mimic the Hollywood scene so that Hollywood will notice you and everything like that. And the problem is Hollywood doesn't notice that. Hollywood notices the people out there making the movies that aren't, you know, that aren't copying them. Movies like I would say, like movies like Smack, where you guys are taking a different approach. You guys are making this indie, but you're not making this Hollywood, you know what I mean?
No.
And you're not trying to mimic what Hollywood is doing. This is not Conjuring, you know, this isn't a horror film like that or anything. This is a real life horror where it's, you know, something that really means something. And if more indie people would do that, I think a lot more of their films would be a success and probably get out there more by Hollywood standards, you know? So, I mean, that's just my, you know,
I agree.
My opinion. I love it. And I love that it is bringing, like, indie films are kind of bringing people who've never been into indie films together when they make indie films, you know, like, I don't know how you were, Alice, before, you know, getting into like Voorhees and seeing all this stuff that's going on the indie scene, but now you're probably know a lot more about the indie scene than you probably did before.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, honestly, every project's going to be a learning, you know, a learning opportunity anyways, regardless of indie or otherwise. So yeah, I mean, I am glad that I had the opportunity to get involved in this, and I'm excited to see where it leads.
Definitely. All right. So the link will be down below. So if anybody wants to donate to the Indiegogo, they can donate there. Before we go, I'd like to ask you guys, like, what else have you guys been up to? Is there any projects that you guys have been doing, you know, together or solo that you guys can talk about?
Right now, I've been just kind of hunkered down on writing my Bob the Builder fan film. No, I'm joking.
That's the first she's hearing about this.
Yeah, breaking news.
I'll direct that one.
Haddonfield Nightmare, that we're both in, I believe that's scheduled to come out this October. I'm not too sure, though. Later this year, at least, something.
We've got The Dark Office with Jonathan.
The Dark Office. Woo! Yeah, The Dark Office.
That's actually also planning to come out in October. So you guys will have new projects that'll be out on YouTube on in October, which will be awesome. You know, it'd be funny if it's, I don't know, like, I don't know if it'll be the same day or not, because I have a feeling since that one's a Halloween film. I guess I don't know then, like, because would it be closer to Halloween than it's out, or be, you know, in the beginning?
I'm not sure. I think I know what date it is, but I don't want to say it just in case. I don't know if he's announced it yet, so okay. I don't know. Yeah.
It's better not to.
Okay.
Super excited about Dark Office as well. I'm in a film called Bloody Summer Camp, which I think is, like, coming out next month. They have a premiere for it this month, I know, in Raleigh, North Carolina. Smack is definitely, like, my big baby right now. And then I have another film with, as you know, Lydia, The House That Eats Flesh, shooting later this year. I'm filming with those guys. And, yeah, I think that's it. Alice?
Right now I think, well, Smack is my main focus. I'm actually looking for potentially doing some other projects.
Actors are always looking for new projects. Yeah.
And then, of course, I mean, Cody and I also talk about doing little short films here and there, something else later on in the long run. So there's always something cooking, I would say.
Definitely. I think that's awesome. I mean, especially when you find the right people to work with, you know, and, you know, I could tell when I could tell in the audition that you guys did for The Dark Office that you guys had, like, you know, a friendship that, you know, you could just tell, you know, that you guys work well together and everything. And like, I hadn't seen Voorhees, so I hadn't really, Cody was the one who recommended you, Alice, I believe. So, you know, thank God. Cause he was just like, I've got somebody. And, I don't even know if we weren't sure who we were going to cast. We put a casting call out, but it just wasn't the right people and stuff. So I saw a couple auditions and I was like, ugh. And then, you know, feel bad for saying that, but like, they just weren't right. You know, like, you know, when it's right. And I saw you guys and I showed it to Colleen, the co-writer, and she loved it. And I was like, that's it. We're going to go with you guys. So, and then you guys out and did a fantastic job and very easy to work with. You know, I will say this, because even though this isn't the Dark Office show or whatever, but I will say that there was some things that happened in that, like, stuff that was like, that was deterring us from, like, you know, stopping us from doing things that we had things break on us, you know. I can't say what, because I don't want to get in trouble, but the like, you know, doors break and shit, you know, and stuff.
Yeah, that's always part of the fun.
Yeah. I had fun. Yeah. Honestly, Jonathan, I had a blast working with you guys. It was a very, same thing, man. Easy to work with. I really enjoy working with Alice too. I thought our characters were just super, super ridiculous, but so fun to play, you know?
It got very Scooby-Doo like, which was.
But it was so fun. Yeah, it was. I had a lot of fun working with Alice on that one. Me and Alice talk about it all the time, how much fun we had with The Dark Office.
Yeah, and the other thing, you did your own stunt for it too. So I thought that was pretty cool, you know? You fell down a bunch of times. Yeah, you did. Remember, you fell down like a whole bunch of times. We had and I was afraid you were going to miss the pillows at some points, you know. I think at one point we took away the pillows because you couldn't.
Yeah.
So I was like worried you're going to like hurt yourself and we're going to have to take you to the freaking hospital or something, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, man. I had a blast, man. everything from the stunts to the Scooby-Doo moment, I had a blast. So, I think I speak for Alice on both of us on that one. So.
Yeah, it was a great time. It was really like laid back. We were just having fun with the characters and the story, honestly, and just also working together on it because, you know, when do you really get to do stuff like that with like a really good friend? So that was so thank you, Jonathan, for casting.
Yeah, thank you, man.
It was fun. I enjoyed it. And I don't know. I can't wait for people to see it, but it'll be a little bit of time where, Ashley's still in the editing mode and everything. So you guys know how that is. You know, it takes a little bit longer to edit shit as you'd want. So when can people, like, once the Indiegogo's done, are you guys going right into production of it, or are you going to take a little bit of time to start getting that going for Smack?
Yeah, that's actually what we're doing right now. We're in the process of getting a proper shooting schedule put together. We plan on, you know, as soon as the campaign ends, I think it takes about 2 weeks for the funds to process. And as soon as those funds come in, start getting some of those rewards ready, you know, t-shirts and posters. Obviously, things like scripts and stuff we can't ship out yet, but start getting those things, other things ready. And yeah, start filming, you know. Some of our cast members are already fully vaccinated, so they're ready to roll, you know. And the funding is the big thing right now. Is just keep pushing and hope that we can get some funds. We're ready to shoot this thing and try to hit the festivals. You know, we want to do a festival run if we can. And that's another thing where the budget comes in. You know, these festivals cost money to enter your film. In fact, most of them cost money just for them to watch it. And if they say no, they still get to keep the money. So there's festival fees, you know, that we have to.
Sounds like college applications.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Right. They charge you. I never had to do that, but I know, like, I'm sure they charge you for the college application, and then they cannot accept you if they don't want to.
They say no, they get to keep your $200 or $300. Most of these bigger ones go for about $200 to $300 just to enter your film, and who knows if they're even freaking watching it, but I'm not going to get into that. But like, let's hope that Smack gets a chance. I hope everyone gives it a chance. I don't know where it's going to be released. You know, it's not going to be a YouTube movie. Right. So maybe Amazon Prime or something, maybe. But we definitely want to hit the festivals first.
Hit the festivals, hit Sundance, you know, Slam Dance, all the dances, you know. Except for Troma Dance. I think you guys are a little bit above that, but, you know. I'm excited. I can't wait. You know, Cannes would be great for you guys if you guys could go out there to France, you know, to promote it. I don't know how that works with COVID now. I don't know if they're even having the festival or not, but because that would mean like a lot of people have to go, leave the country to go there. So
I feel like it would do well there.
Right. Like, I feel like if any of the festivals, you know, it would definitely be accepted too. I feel like, you know, at least for the indie spirit of it all, you know, and everything.
We're going to try. Yeah.
I mean, that's all you can do, right? You just submit it and whatever happens, happens, you know?
That's all. Yeah, exactly. We're going to give it our all. So, and yeah, just thank you. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, man.
You're very welcome, and thank you both. It was a pleasure having you guys on. If you guys could stay around after, I'm say something to you guys personally. Sure. But thank you guys, and thank you all for watching and checking this out. Check out their Indiegogo at the bottom, and donate if you can. Even, you know, as much as you guys can, you know, anything helps. You know, and spread, and the best thing too is also spreading the word, showing off the Indiegogo, letting other people who may be affected with this know about it, because the more people that know about it, the more, you know, it'll get out. So you guys, and hope you guys enjoy this. All right.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Okay. Bye.
Peace.